This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hi everyone, Delphina Correa here from Beam at Home and Maxwell Leadership. We are on part 10 today of the series Developing the Leader Within You. It's based on the book by John Maxwell, version 2 of the book, which is the latest version. Well worth getting. If you got the first version, I want to encourage you to get the second one because it's a whole lot different to the first one and there's a whole lot more. Version 1 was written many years ago, but version 2 has got so much more, and it's written by a John who was much more mature than the John who wrote the first version. So we're on part 10 today, and we've been talking about the heart of leadership. The heart of leadership is serving people. So how can you become a better leader by serving your people better? How can you become a better servant leader? I want to give you 5 guidelines today that you could apply to your leadership that's going to just take your leadership up to the next level. The level of significance, and what I call the pinnacle of leadership, is when you get to that point where it's all about the people and you forget yourself as a leader. And when you get to that point, you become so significant that people begin to look up to you because of what you represent. And that's really, I think, where the awesomeness of leadership really, where we begin to live out that awesomeness of being able to lead and influence people on that level. So let's get into the 5 guidelines. The first one I want to say is that we shouldn't rely on our position or our title as leaders. If I want to be a servant leader, I want to serve people, I got to forget my title. Put it behind me, lay it down there. You know, the title is there for information only. So people know, you know, who to speak to about what. They'll know that you're the one, your position is that you're leading the team. But your value as a leader is not in the title. The title doesn't provide value. It just provides information. So you don't, when you put down that title, what happens is, you see, when we go by this title, we tend to want to yank everybody up to where we are. You know, come here, you know, I'm here, come to me. But when we drop the title, and we take our attention off the title at least, then we focus on going to the people, because we're not supposed to call them up. We're supposed to first go to where they are, and then we bring them up step by step to where we are. And that's when you meet people on common ground. The common ground, the leader goes to where the team member or the other person is. The leader goes first. The leader goes to the common ground is where the other person is, not where the leader is. So you go down because you've been where they are. Before you are a leader, you are a follower. So you've been a follower. So you've been where they are. And for your followers to come to where you are, you first got to go find them where they are. To be a good servant leader, you want to believe in your people and believe in their potential. So you want to encourage the success of your people. It's not about what can you do for me as a leader. It's about, as a leader, what can I do for you? How can I help you to become successful? How can I help you to come up to where I am? And even those you don't like, you know, sometimes you've got someone who just rubs you up the wrong way. You know, some people, let's just face it, they just have irritating nature. But you don't have to let them irritate you. You've got to look beyond their ways and see the potential. You know, some people are very strong personalities, and you know what, they just kind of in your face all the time. And but yet, that those kind of people generally have such great potential. They're confident, and they can really go so far. But we allow their personalities to kind of get in the way, and then we don't want to encourage them to grow. But we got to encourage all people, even those people who are, you know, difficult to get along with. And as leaders, we've got to look for the good in all our team members and try to find out where, what their strength is, and try to help them come up. As a leader, as a servant leader, we also want to see things from their perspective. You know, how do you connect with someone who rubs you the wrong way? Let's talk a bit about that, because let's face it, that's where the difficulty is. It's easy to connect with someone we like. That's not difficult. It's easy to connect with someone who's got the same kind of personality and they got the same interests. That's all easy. There's no trouble with that. It gets difficult when they just the oddball in the team. You know, you got that oddball and you kind of, you know, you can't understand, you know, how do I relate to this guy? How do we connect with those people? You know what? Seeing things from another person's perspective, that's how you get to connect with them. That's how you get to understand them. You might have that guy with a weird attitude, and once you start talking to them, talk to them casually, not just work and instructions, but just have a casual conversation with about, you know, how are you? You know, tell me about your family, you know, tell me about your life, and ask them questions, and we discover who they are and why they are the way they are. And when we've got that understanding, it's so much easier to see their potential. It's so much easier to see things from their perspective. So as a leader, we must be able to see things from two sides, from my side and from your side, from my perspective and from your perspective. That's a great leadership skill. And to be a good leader, we need to be able to do that. And we want to also create an environment of encouragement. You know, if we need to address an issue with someone with a wrong attitude on the team, you're not going to be able to successfully deal with that if we haven't got an environment of encouragement. If the environment is just, you know, pick on your staff and correct them, correction, over-discipline, over-correction, and it's all just instructions, there's no connection with a team, then when there's a problem, we're not going to get cooperation from them. So we got to have an environment, you know, get the environment of encouragement in place. Let it be there already. So when a problem arises with a particular team member in your team, if you're the leader, that will help you then. It will help the situation so that when you address the problem, they're already in a better space. They already want to cooperate with you because you've always been encouraging them. You've been an encouraging kind of person. And then automatically, you're going to solve the problems much more easily. I got a question for you. What positive things can you say every day to the people on your team to motivate and inspire them? There's a little bit of homework for you. You can think about that in your own time. Think of your team and who they are, the kind of people on your team and the things you're dealing with. And I'm sure you'll find one thing you can do to encourage your team. To be a good servant leader, which, like I said, it's like the creme a la creme of leadership. Is to, when it's all about the people and I forget myself so I can serve my people. That's the real pinnacle of leadership. And in order to be that great leader, we got to measure our successes by how much value we add to others, not how much we add to ourselves. It's not about how my salary has increased in the last year. It's not about how many positions I've moved up or how much recognition I've gotten. It's not about how many certificates I've gotten and how many accolades I've received and how many privileges I've gotten as I've gone up in the ranks. That's not, there's nothing wrong with all those things. We can have all those things. But those things are not an accurate measure of your and my success. If I want to accurately measure my success rate, I must look at and ask myself, how much value have I added to others? That's where you measure success. And that's where we see the power of serving others. We see the power when we begin to measure that success and we begin to see all the things that we've done to make other people's lives better. And it's a great motivator, it's a great self-motivator as well, you know, to self-motivate by remembering the things that I've done for other people, not out of vanity, but it just motivates me to do more. Cooper and Trammell said, servant leaders should listen without judgment, be authentic, build community, share power, and most of all, develop people. And what are you doing right now to develop the people around you? That's a tough question, isn't it? A bit of a reality kind of question, it's the question that reveals where I am at. It's the question for you that reveals where you're at. Think of the five things I've listed above now. I'm going to run over them now. I'm going to go over them and ask yourself, what do you need to develop to serve others better? I'm just going to run over them quickly. If you can't answer yes to one of these, then that's the one that where you might be limited as a leader. So you don't rely on your position or title. Yes? Good. You believe in people and their potential? Yes? Good. You see things from the perspective of others? Yes? Good. You create an environment of encouragement? Yes? Good. You measure your success by how much value you've added to others? Yes? Good. If you've answered yes to those, wow, you are on your way. I will serve under you any day. But if you feel like, you know what, I couldn't say yes to some of those statements, mark the ones that you couldn't say yes to and think of ways that you can improve those so that you can become a better leader, serve your team better, and have more significance, more fulfillment, more impact, more influence, more joy out of your life. And then people will admire your leadership because of what you represent as a leader. And it will inspire others to also be a better servants as they lead. Jesus said, to be the greatest, you must become the biggest servant. So that just answers the whole thing right there. I think he's the greatest role model of leadership we have available to us. Even if you're not a Christian and you're listening, go read the Bible. That's history. There's history in the Bible. And the four Gospels are the history of Jesus. And you can learn a lot from him in history. So let's think of a few questions we can ask ourselves. Maybe you didn't pick up the gist of what I was saying now, or maybe those things are like, you know, it's like just next level. It's just too over your head, and you're still learning about leadership today. As you're listening to me today, you're new to this leadership idea. Here's an easy way. I'm going to ask you just some straight questions that will maybe you can answer to yourself, and I'll give you some stories that are experiences I've had that'll help you. The first question is the adding value question. What can I do for people to help them succeed? I want to tell you a quick story of my own experience. A couple of years ago in our church, we had serving teams on the Sunday, and at the campus that we were at, we had four teams, and my husband and I led the one team, but I was the kind of, you know, the one who would do most of the setting up of the who must do what, you know, strategizing the team, and I was the one giving them the huddle talk before we'd serve, and the motivation and all that. I did a lot of that, and so every time that we would serve, you know, we did everything, you know, from the packing up to the cleaning up and to the serving in the service, before the service, welcoming, saying goodbye, all the things. We were like the everything team. And so every Sunday that we served, before we would go on duty, I'd have like a little team, little information session of what we've got to do today, what's to think about, what's the important points of today. And then I'd always end off with a little encouraging thought, something that would inspire them to serve better. And I actually got that idea from John Maxwell. I'd even quote him sometimes. Sometimes it was my own quotes. Sometimes it was other people's quotes. Sometimes it was just a concept or a principle. But it was always something that I felt would inspire them to serve the community better while they were on duty. And so the end result of all of that, just a simple little 1 minute add-on to our morning huddle on those days, the result was that out of the four teams they had, our team was known as the best team. And the leaders of the other teams would come to me and ask me what they could do to improve. And they would come to me about the problem they had and ask me what they could change to kind of make their team better. And that's what the result of the adding value question. If you add just a little bit of value, a little bit on the front end, will produce a huge impact on the back end. And that's how your team will begin to stand out and become possibly the best team in your organization. Then there's the everyday question. What do people need from me daily that they may not want to ask for? What about things they don't even know to ask for? Now think about that question. Think about how this question will change your attitude towards your team. If you think of one thing to do for your team every day to just be a blessing to them, there's going to come a point where you're just going to love your team. It's really going to increase the team morale and the way you see your team. It will do something on the inside of you. Then there's the improvement question. What can I do or what can I work on that will help me to serve my people better? Mark Cole is the CEO of the Maxwell Leadership Group of Companies, and he said, the servant leader's value rests in why he does what he does and how well he does it, not in what he does and how often he does it. And this allows him to find value in who he is. Just think about that. He's putting a parallel here. What I do and how often I do it is held up against why I do it and how well I do it. So I've got to focus on my why and how well I'm doing it rather than just, you know, am I doing the job? So what are you going to start doing today to bring out the best in you? Not just the best in your team, but the best in you. What's going to bring out my best today? Then there's the evaluation question. How will I know that I'm serving my people well? I love this question. It goes with the blind spot question, which I'll give to you now. You know, if you want to know if you're serving your people well, don't just look at the results you're getting. Don't just kind of do a self-evaluation. Why don't you ask your people how well you're serving them? Get another perspective. We've spoken a lot about having the other perspective in this series. So how can you know if you're serving your people well? I've got a little exercise that you could do, a little idea. You could send out a questionnaire to your team. You can even make it anonymous if you feel like they're not going to want to maybe speak out openly. You ask them two questions. The first question you could ask them is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate me as your leader? You might be surprised. You know, you might be surprised they might not rate you well, or you might be surprised that they rate you really well. Either way, the point is you're going to find out how they perceive you as a leader. And then the second question you can ask them is, why? You know, why do you give me that rating? And that way you can become a better leader. You will also see your blind spots, because that's the blind spot question. What's it like for them when I lead them? How do they perceive my leadership? What's it like on the other side of the table? So think about those things. And are you working to serve the people around you for your personal gain or for their gain? Good question. There's the respect question then. How can I gain value while I'm adding value to others by serving? How can I gain value? And that's about motive. When I serve my people, my motives become purified. And then I gain self-value. My self-esteem goes up. I feel better about myself. So it's a win-win situation. And there's a giftedness question that says, what do I do best that allows me to serve them best? You know, I want to say go with your strengths to serve your people. Maybe you're good at solving the problems, or maybe you're good at encouraging people. You know, think of the gifts you have and use what you got. You know, that very tall basketball player, I forget his name, he was really tall, and they asked him what he attributes his success to. And he says, and this was his answer, he said, just use what you got. You know, he had height and he used it for basketball. So if you're a leader, use what you got and use that to serve your team. There's the example question. How can I serve people in a way that will inspire them to serve others? Am I setting that example of serving others? Not serve me better, but to serve others better. I want them to move on with it, you know, to the next person. The idea of serving people is not so I can get something back out of it. It's for them to move on and give that to somebody else. And that moves me to the next part of the series, which is the indispensable quality of leadership. I'm going to start with that and we'll continue next week with it. The indispensable quality of leadership is vision. You know that scripture, without vision, the people perish. It's so true. And if I want to be a leader, I must have a vision. Andy Stanley said this. He said, vision gives significance to the otherwise meaningless details of our lives. Vision brings your world into focus. It brings order to chaos, and a clear vision enables you to see everything differently. So how has your vision given you a road map for your leadership development? Think about your vision that you have for the journey that you're on. I want to give you some vision statements today. Important to have a vision. Think about this. If the leader doesn't see the vision, how will the people ever see the vision? Have you seen this happen ever? The minute the leader doesn't know where he's going, the team is just going to go flip-flopping around. They're going to go around in circles. They're going to get into a rut. They're just going to go through the motions. But they are not going to move in a direction, and it's because the leader does not have a vision. The minute the leader has a vision, it's amazing how the team just gears up and begins to move with the leader in that vision. And you've got to make known your vision to your team. So what can you see as a leader? Because remember that what you can see determines what you can be. People who never see a vision or can't see ahead, they are wanderers. And people who see but they never pursue it on their own, they become followers. And it's okay, there's a place for followers, because the followers will often hold up the leader. They will support the leader, but they won't do it on their own. They'll need the leader. So they would then be followers. There are also people who see it and they pursue it. Those are achievers, you know, they know how to get done. But then there's the leader. And the leader is the person who sees it and pursues it and then takes it to the next level, and they help others to see and pursue it as well. Which category would you put yourself in? And how could you move to the next category as a leader? How can you move to the point where you are helping others also to see and pursue? I want to tell you a quick story, because you know what? You see only what you're prepared to see. And this is a true story. So there was a certain bishop from the East Coast of the United States, and he visited a small Midwest religious college. This happened around the beginning of the 20th century. This is around 1900. So he stayed at the home of the college president, and this president was also the college's professor of physics and chemistry. So after dinner, they're having a discussion, and the bishop starts to say that he thought that just about everything in nature was discovered, all inventions had already been conceived, and nothing much more is going to happen. I think he thought Jesus was coming anytime soon. And the college professor objected to that. He said, no, he thinks that there's a lot more to be discovered. So the bishop challenged him, and he said, well, name just one. What invention do you think still needs to be conceived? And to this, the president replied, well, you know, I think within the next 50 years, men would be able to fly. So the bishop was a very religious guy. He said, nonsense. Only angels are intended to fly. How religious. And guess what the name of that bishop's name was? What his name was? You're going to laugh now. His name was Milton Wright. You recognize that name, Wright? Remember Orville and Wilbur Wright? The founders of the aeroplane? The first men to fly? They were his sons. He had two sons who lived under the same sky, but they had a very different horizon. They had a greater vision than their own father. So, you only see what you're prepared to see. And how are you preparing to possess your vision? That's a good question to ask. I mean, it'll take a while to answer that. I think we should all spend some time answering questions like that. How are we going to possess our vision? How are we going to move in that direction? Because what you see is what you get. And leaders understand that they have to believe it to see it. You first got to believe it. You got to see it on the inside before you're going to see it on the outside. While most people go through life and they say that I have to see it to believe it. So what do you believe the future holds for you and the people around you? What do you believe? As a leader, you must strive to see more and before others do. And next week, I'm going to show you how you can increase this more and this before that you got to have as a leader. So it's the end of the part 10 today. Next week is part 11 of the series. So please join me again, and you will find out how you can increase your more and your before. In the meantime, you can visit my website at bemadewhole.co.za. There you will find the courses that I'm certified to train as a Maxwell trainer. You will find that as a certified trainer, I can even help you become certified. And so you can get in touch with me if you need help with that, if you wanted to be a certified coach or trainer. My books are there that I've written, hard copies and ebooks. And if you want to get a hard copy, you could even pop in at a Brights hardware store in the Western Cape. If you live near a Brights or you're a client there, you can pick selected hard copies there up. And the info of that's on the website, or you can order it online and have it delivered to your door. My blog is there with teachings, videos, and podcasts. There you will find the recordings of all these podcasts, where you can go back and listen to them again. Within a day or two, they become available on my podcast. You can subscribe follow me on social media, and there is community transformation, and there you will see what we're doing as a company in a community in South Africa as well as other countries of Africa. So that's it for today. Please join me again as we continue with part 11 of Developing the Leader Within You. Thank you very much.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.